Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Tony Farmer. We're broadcasting with my co-host, Brett Melton. We're broadcasting live here. Without further ado, I want to be able to introduce our guest that we have on the show. This man is leading the charge for the NBA Retired Players Association. He was affiliated with the CBA, New Orleans Saints, all these organizations, and has done so well. I'm excited to have him on my show. He's doing great things with the NBA Retired Players Association. I'm a member of that association nationally and also with the LA chapter. I would like to welcome to our show the CEO, Mr. Arnie Felico. Arnie, are you with us?
I am, Tony. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you.
Thank you. I'm glad you had a chance to join us, had a chance to talk to you a little bit about in Los Angeles. So, you know, Arnie, you've had a lot of success with different businesses and franchise and organizations. You decide to embark on this new beginning as a CEO of the NBA Retired Players Association. So why did you take the position and how did it come about?
Well, first of all, I took the position because I think it's a great organization with tremendous potential. And the mission of the organization, I think, is not only important, but it suits my personal and professional interest as well. So I'm really excited to be, heading the efforts for the retired players of professional basketball and helping fulfill the mission of transitioning our guys from their days in basketball to all of the challenges that life brings afterwards. How it came about was there was a national search that was done this summer when the position opened up, and I threw my hat in the ring. I had taken a six-year hiatus from sports. I was in government in New Orleans as the president of the New Orleans City Council for the last 6 years, and a couple friends told me about the opportunity. I put my hat in the ring, and several interviews later, I was very fortunate to have been selected by the board of directors. So I'm very excited. I'm into my starting my eighth month, and raring to go and hopefully make this a tremendous organization as we go down the road.
That's great. I'm excited to actually be a part of it and having a chance to talk to Adrian Colon. You know, he does a great job as well as you do. But what tell our listeners, what is the goal of the NBRP? What do they actually do? What's the organization do?
Well, it's a great question. And one of the things that I think I saw right from the beginning is our organization was really underbranded. I don't think many people in the sports world or all of the sports world even knew who the organization was. And I came from the NFL, and I saw how active the retired players associations were in the NFL. But really, the basketball world had been pretty silent, in my opinion. And so we're trying to really ramp up our branding, our exposure. Appreciate being on a show like this because that certainly helps us. But at the end of the day, we have a real singular mission, and that is to help and assist the guys that play professional basketball, either in the NBA, the ABA, the Globetrotters, and coming down the road, maybe even some additional professional leagues, help them transition once their days are over to whatever careers, jobs, opportunities that they have an interest in. And as you know, professional athletes face some unique challenges, once their playing days are over. Dealing with, family life, dealing with the economics, dealing with going back and getting education at times. So we cover the gamut right now. We have programs in all of those areas, financial, educational, career transition, health. And, at the end of the day, we're a 501c whose mission it is to try to assist those members that that join the association.
Got good. And my thing is how many members are in the association right now, Arnie?
We've got about 510 members as we speak. So we're up about 70 to 80 members just since last fall. And that's attributable to, word of mouth. And I think people starting to feel a lot better about this organization and what we can do. It's also trying to be real with people and honest about what we can't do. Because I think sometimes expectations have been set that aren't realistic relative to an organization like ours. But I think the really interesting thing on membership is not so much where we are now, but where we can be. When I stepped on board, first question I asked is how many living players are eligible to be members? Again, NBA, ABA, and Globetrotters. And the number is near 3,000. Almost 2,000 NBA players are still living. that qualify for membership. So one of the things Adrian, who's our membership director, and our whole staff are doing is trying to devise ways first to find players, which is not as easy as one might think, because a lot of the records don't exist, either at the league level, the union level. But second of all, once we reach them, really telling them why we exist, how we can benefit them, and why it's important that they join really the only fraternity in the world like us that represents former professional NBA, ABA, and Globetrotter players.
Right. Now, you know, even like myself being a retired player, you know, a lot of times when people are out of the loop, the fans themselves, sometimes they don't care because it's not that current player who's on ESPN, on TNT, and on TV right now. And when you look at the different chapters that, you know, are available as far as like with the association, what do you feel, Arnie, is the problem these days with a lot of retired players? Because I look at myself, and when I was in my playing days, a lot of time it's the direction of, you know, everybody is like, I got to call my agent, But at the end of the day, we're our own men, and I've been enjoying more growth away from the court than I have with the court because I was on that daily grind. What do you feel is some of the downfall of a lot of players today that you've seen in trying to get these players back organized with the association and getting them career moves that, you know, people want to do?
Well, first of all, on the membership front, I think a lot of it is just word of mouth of getting the players that aren't members aware that we exist and really the value and the benefits we provide, because I think we have a pretty compelling case to make once we're able to talk to people one-on-one and encourage them to join the association. And that's going to grow. I mean, our numbers, I believe, are going to swell in the coming years, and we're going to get much larger numbers than even where we are today. But I think the more important question, even beyond the business and the membership, because at the end of the day, again, we're a 501c. We're a nonprofit organization to try to help people. The challenges that I see that exist out there for former players, while unique, somewhat mirror the real world of everybody. I mean, people have marital and personal issues. They have financial issues. Education, as you know, if you don't have a degree, it's very tough at times to, you know, really pursue the career and the profession you'd like. Certainly medical issues. So our guys mirror the society, you know, just maybe in a little bit different world and a different level. So what we try to do as an association, and what we're trying to build, especially in the last 8 months, is to build programs that would be relevant to a former athlete. You know, if you don't have your degree, how do you go back and get it? What financial aid vehicles exist? You know, so we have coaches that are experts in that field to help. We have a medical group out of New York that's assisting us to help our players holistically on different medical-related issues and preventive medicine that they may have. You know, basketball players may not be as beat up necessarily as football players are. You've seen all of the stuff happening in the NFL world with concussions and everything. But basketball players have their own unique challenges health-wise after they get done playing. So we have that. We have career transition, because we have guys that call up and, you know, say, look, I really want to be in this field. How do I get there? Or I'd like a job in sports, or I want to be a coach, or I want to be an athletic director. How do I get there? So we now have experts in the field that can, you know, literally lead you by the hand and guide you to those places. So what we're trying to do is put programs in place that will assist our members on all of the myriad of issues that they may face once they get off the court. And as you said, Tony, most of our guys don't have agents anymore. I mean, the agents, after the playing days are over, for the most part, a lot of these guys don't exist. So they're on their own for the first time. And as a result of that, it's very difficult, not only in basketball, but for everybody in the professional sports world.
Right. Now, what do you think, Arnie, has been the biggest challenge thus far since you took over? I know you said one of the challenges has been actually locating the players. And sometimes, you know, even with my reality TV show that I have coming out that I plan to have, you know, some players on, what do you feel is the biggest challenge of with some of the players? Do you feel like maybe some of it could be trust besides the location, maybe getting some of the players to trust that the association has its best interest? Because we all know with the current Players Association, you have this friction between Billy Hunter and Derek Fisher. And I know, you know, with the Tired Players Association, we don't want to have that kind of friction. What do you think has been the biggest challenge thus far besides locating the player?
Well, I think this association as an entity, more than anything, just needs stability and branding. The branding we've talked about, we just got to get us known by everybody, both in the basketball world and outside the basketball world. You know, the organization, as you know, has gone through some turmoil over its 20-year history. Not unique, by the way. I mean, you can look at the NFL Retired Players Association right now. They just lost an executive director. You can look at others that have gone through turmoil. But this organization needs some stability. It needs to keep its board of directors moving in the right direction. It needs to keep its CEO in place. Hopefully I will be here for, you know, a long tenure. And it needs to get its membership rallied together to understand that we're there for them. I mean, this is there's nobody that works in my staff here that has any agenda other than wanting to help players. And, I, you know, whether that's the case in the past, I don't know. But I can tell you the group that's assembled right now are all for fulfilling the mission of our organization. So I think as time goes by, we're communicating a whole lot more with membership than we ever did before. Our board is very unified at this point. Our relationships with the NBA and the union are present and strong. You know, I just think bright days are ahead for us. We just have to stay the course, stay unified, and not, you know, not get into side issues that sometimes, you know, distract from the goal and the mission. And then I think the other thing that we've got to do as an organization, as I alluded to before, is really be honest with our members as to what we as an association like ours can do and what we can't do. And I fear after seeing this for 8 months that a lot of promises have been made in the past that were undelivered, and I think a lot of our members distrust that because of it. And we're really trying to change that sentiment and make sure people understand that what they're going to get out of this group is a very honest, sincere effort, and we will give everything we can to try to help our membership.
Right, and that's great because the thing at the end of the day, you know, you see the All-Star events, you see these other sports between baseball, football, basketball, and the NBA. If, you know, you got a ton of athletes that are retired that are just looking to make a difference or looking just to get their break outside because a lot of them aren't prepared for life after basketball. So this is Tony Farmer and Brett Melton with CEO of the NBA Retired Players Association, Arnie Felco. We'll take this 2-minute commercial break, and we'll come back with Arnie and get to the second part. Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Tony Farmer. We're live with the CEO of the NBA Retired Players Association, Mr. Arnie Felco, and my co-host, Mr. Brett Melton. One of the questions that I have for you, Arnie, that was curious from my mind being an active member is how can the players get in touch with the NBA Retired Players Association to become active in the association? I'm definitely myself going to encourage my peers to get involved with, but how can the players become active with the association?
Two easy ways. We have a brand new website that launched about 3 months ago that I encourage not only our members, but anybody listening to the show, you know, to go to www.legendsofbasketball.com. And on it, you'll learn everything you'd want to know about our association and what we offer and what we're about. And there's also a membership section on there, so you could fill in the information, and we and staff will get back to you. Our office number, for those who want to call, is 312-913-9400. That's our Chicago office. We're located in downtown Chicago. And you just ask for Adrian Colon. Adrian is our membership director and has been here a number of years and does a tremendous job, you know, dealing with our members and prospective members.
Good. Now, for our listeners, there are some players who could be listening in to transfer the information to. Where are the various chapters, Arnie, located?
We have 7 chapters currently. Houston, Phoenix, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Orlando, Chicago, and Dallas, and I will tell you that we're on the verge of adding South Florida, Miami area, and we have had great interest expressed in 3 to 4 others already. The goal is we should be at 10 chapters by the end of this year, and the goal within 3 years from now is to be in all NBA markets, all 30 NBA markets. So the chapters are really important for us. Number one, I think it's important to decentralize and to be able to let our members and the leadership in each of those cities have a chance to do things in those cities. I mean, I can tell you, having spent a lot of time in the NFL, that the NFL chapter in New Orleans, for example, did incredible things, community events, charitable events, They worked with the NFL club. They were honored. So what our goal and our model is in every NBA city and maybe even a couple non-NBA cities to put a chapter there, have the membership that lives in that area be able to not only come to meetings, do good things in that community, but also reach out to other people who play pro basketball who may not be members. So it's a recruiting vehicle as well. So we're in those seven cities now on our way to Miami as the eighth, and I would guess at least two more before the end of this year.
Right. Now, with that being said, you know, you see a lot of situations like with the NFL, they're battling these concussion situations, and you see, you know, Junior Seau, he pretty much took his life last week.
Yeah.
Now, is there any kind of plans for the future to interact with football, baseball, hockey, with the NBA Retired Players Association? Because I think even though we have our own entity, I think it's a healthy situation to be able to interact with the other communities of other sports, because at the end of the day, we're all men and we're all the same kind of team.
Well, you're thinking very progressively. That's exactly what we should do and what we are doing right now. One of my first meetings when I took the job is I went over to D.C. and I met with my counterpart in the NFL. The NFL is a little bit different because the NFL actually has a retired players organization both on the management league side and on the union side. So they have two of them. I met with the representatives from football just last week. The CEO for Major League Baseball alumni was in our office here in Chicago, spent the entire day with us and our staff going through what they do in baseball. And we now have an association of executive directors and CEOs of the four sports. And we're meeting in September, and we're going to make that a biannual meeting every twice a year, because there's so much we can learn from each other. I mean, we have some uniqueness based on the sport, but there's so many commonalities of what, you know, a baseball player faces when their day's over, a football guy, and, you know, how do you deal with the issue of health insurance, and how do we advocate for pensions, and, you know, all of these issues that, candidly, it doesn't matter what sport you have, you still have many of those same you know, topics. So this is going to be a great organization for us to get off the ground, and we've already started those informal discussions, you know, one-on-one with each other.
That's good. I'm excited myself to actually see the growth of the organization, see directly where it's going. And I know in order to find the Players Association on Twitter, they are at NBA Alumni is the username on that, and NBA Alumni on Facebook as well. So, Arne, I'll give you a chance to, you know, say your last parting words and give shout-outs and hellos and any kind of information you want to our listeners, to fans, and the players before we move on as well.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on, and congratulations on the show. I mean, this is a great example of a former player who has been very successful after the days are over. So thank you, Tony, for hosting us today. I mean, just two things I'd like to say. I think one of the biggest projects we've got is to figure out a way to get the active NBA players more engaged in our association. If you look at the baseball world, 90% of the active players of Major League Baseball are members of the Alumni Association. So we're working really hard on that. You know, my thanks to the NBA, my thanks to the union. They have been tremendous supporters. We've got some great corporate partners behind us, companies like Wells Fargo and Auntie Anne's, who really have laid the financial foundation for us to be successful. And for all of our fans, take a look at the website, legendsofbasketball.com. We have a fan membership section on there. You can join as a non-player. And for all of our players, the next big event that we have, August 17 through 19 in New Orleans, is our annual conference called the Legends World Sports Conference. It's a great weekend. We get over 200 of our members come each year. It's a chance to get to see each other again, lots of education and seminars and a fun time, and obviously a city I'm very familiar with. So, you know, we hope everybody will join us in New Orleans August 17 through 19, and you can actually register for the conference through our office.
Well, that'd be good, Arne, I want to just definitely have a chance to thank you personally for coming on to our show, being a guest, enlightening myself and Brett and everyone about the direction of the Retired Players Association, because in my mind, even though you're retired, you're not out of mind, and you can still enjoy success just as much as the current players. I look forward to spreading the word this weekend. I'm playing in the Drew League myself as I'm still playing, so I'm going to spread the word to a lot of the active players to kind of take a stand and kind of help us with this chart. So I definitely appreciate you once again for the leadership that you're giving our association to the players, and I'm definitely looking forward to being involved, and I wish all the best. I know you're on your way to Tulane to see your son graduate from college, so I know you got to be a happy dad on that point.
I sure am. I'm very proud of him, and so thank you for that, and thank you again for spreading the word for us.
I appreciate it. Thank you. So that was our guest, Mr. Arnie Felco, the CEO of the NBA Retired Players Association. So the associations definitely do really big things. I'm excited to be a part of. I'm excited to have him as a leader.